Father Josh Johnson, homily for the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Back in 2012, I was able to go on a mission trip to Calcutta to serve the poorest of the poor with Mother Teresa's sisters, the Missionaries of Charity. And while I was there in the slums with the nuns serving the poor, I spent a lot of time at the very first home that she established. It was a home for those who were dying and destitute. And on the wall in this home, she wrote a letter to Jesus. And in her letter to Jesus, Mother Teresa said, "I will give Holy Mother Church saints." And I remember when I read those words, my heart was pierced. And I felt in my heart that it was an invitation from the Lord for me to respond to this letter as well. And also make that same promise to Jesus, that in gratitude for him inviting me, this broken sinner, to discern the priesthood, this gift that I'm unworthy of, in gratitude for the Lord's invitation to me, I'm going to also give him saints. And so that has been my mission since my ordination. My mission has been to help people to fall in love with Jesus and to stay in love with Jesus and to abide in the love of Jesus Christ on earth as it is in heaven. In order to do this work of helping people to encounter God, I have spent a lot of time with brothers and sisters who are already saints to learn from them how I can best lead people to him, Jesus. And one of those saints I've become very familiar with and very close with, and I believe has been a mentor of mine, is a man by the name of Saint Pope John Paul II. Pope John Paul II was born in Poland in 1919, and from the time he was born, he suffered greatly. When he was just 3 years old, his mom passed away. His sister died before he was even born. When he was a kid, his brother, who he looked up to, passed away. Whenever he was a teenager, his closest friends were murdered by the Nazis or imprisoned by the Nazis. Whenever he was just in his early 20s, his dad passed away. He had no one left in his immediate family. He was all alone. Even his closest friends were now gone because of the persecution from the Nazis and then the communists. He eventually went on to seminary to discern the priesthood, but he wasn't able to discern the priesthood in nice formation houses because the communists shut those down. So he had to discern the priesthood through the underground church at night. When no one knew what he was doing, he would work as a construction worker during the day, and at night he would go to people's homes where he would learn about Jesus and philosophy, theology, and grow in his capacity to one day become the priest that he was called to be. Eventually, it was time for his ordination, and I was privileged to be ordained at Sacred Heart of Jesus Catholic Church 8 years ago. When he was ordained at his bishop's house because of the persecution of the communist. His classmates, who he was supposed to be ordained with, they weren't at his ordination at his bishop's house because they were caught by the communists and they were murdered because it was made known to the communists that they were studying for the priesthood. And the communists hated the priesthood. They hated the Catholic Church. John Paul II went on to become a bishop, where he was persecuted by the communists and the Pope. And in 1979, he was the Pope of the Catholic Church. And by 1981, he was shot by an assassin. He survived the attempted assassination. He forgave the man who shot him. And shortly after he forgave the man, while he was back in the church, he was stabbed. Rushed to the hospital again. The man literally suffered his entire life. But in the midst of all of his suffering, in the midst of all of his persecution, in the midst of all of the darkness that he experienced throughout his walk toward eternity, he never stopped spending time with Jesus in prayer. He never stopped praying. And he credits this to his dad's witness. You see, John Paul II and his father, they grew up very poor. They lived on the second story of a Jewish shop. There were three rooms, a living room, a bedroom, and a kitchen and dining room. He and his father shared the bedroom together with two twin beds. And every morning when young John Paul would wake up, he would see his dad on his knees praying the rosary. Or he would see his dad on his knees reading scripture. Or he would see his dad on his knees immersed in silent prayer. His father prayed all the time. His father prayed in good times and in bad times, when he was sick, when he was healthy, when he was filled with joy, when his heart was filled with sorrow. His father prayed when his wife passed away, and when his daughter passed away, and when his son passed away, and when his friends were murdered. His father prayed whenever he celebrated baptisms and celebrations and parties. His father prayed all the time. He never gave up on Jesus. He never blamed God. He never said, I'm going to give God the silent treatment because my life isn't turning out the way I always thought it would be. I'm going to give God the silent treatment and I'm going to stop praying because I'm suffering so much and I'm a Christian. No, he never stopped praying. His witness of prayer inspired John Paul II to also pray. Particularly when his dad passed away, it was his father's decision to always pray that inspired him to go to church and continue to cultivate his relationship with Jesus. And because he continued to cultivate his relationship with Jesus, he was able to perceive Jesus and invite him to think about the priesthood, which he ultimately became priest, bishop, pope, now saint. He credits his entire formation to his dad's witness of unceasing prayer, persevering in prayer, no matter what. It was prayer that inspired John Paul II to continue on in his relationship with God. Today's gospel, the disciples of Jesus, they witness Jesus go away to pray. Jesus was praying. They saw him praying. And it was his prayer that inspired them to ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, they knew how to pray somewhat already, because some of them were already disciples of John the Baptist. And they said John taught his disciples how to pray. See, John, he didn't just teach people how to fast, and he didn't just preach them a message of repentance. He didn't just eat locusts. John also taught people how to pray, so his disciples knew how to pray. But when they saw Jesus pray, they saw that his prayer was deep, and they wanted to go deeper in prayer. Because they saw him pray, they were inspired to want to pray more. They were inspired to want to grow more in their relationship with God. Whenever people see us pray, and we don't pray just to be seen, but whenever we are people of prayer, people will see us pray. And when they see us pray, they will be inspired to think about God, to want more of God, to desire a deeper relationship with God. They will be motivated to cultivate a relationship with God themselves in prayer. But do people see us pray today the way John Paul II saw his daddy pray? Do people see us pray today the way that the disciples saw Jesus Christ, the Son of God, pray 2,000 years ago? Our prayer is not just for us. Yes, it is for our relationship with God, but nothing is just for us. Our life is not just about us. When we are rooted in prayer, our prayer will also affect other people as well. Imagine all the people who can be affected by our decision to pray when we are at work, at our lunch break, making the sign of the cross before and after meals, by our decision to pray whenever we are on the bus or in the car, by our decision to walk around our neighborhood praying the rosary. By our decision to pray, we can inspire other people who maybe have forgotten about God, other people who maybe were brought up Catholic but have since left the church, by other people maybe who have never even known of God. We can be the reason why people choose to pray, and by the fruit of their prayer, they will be able to encounter, fall in love, and stay in love with God, not only on earth, but forever in heaven. This is the story of Saint Edith Stein. Saint Edith Stein was a Jewish woman who became an atheist, and she was an atheistic philosopher. She did not believe in God. She was an intellectual woman. She was very smart, and one day, while she was out in public, she saw a woman who was grocery shopping stop to visit a church to pray. And it wasn't on a Sunday. It was on a Monday. It was just a regular day of the week. It was on a regular day of the week at a regular time of the day. And she saw this woman put her grocery bags down for 5 minutes to go and kneel down in the church and pray. And she was taken aback. Why would this woman just stop and pray? Like, it's as if she believes that she's in like a relationship with God outside of like the communal worship of God on Sundays, which is what most people did. Like, she's talking to God on Monday. I've never seen this before. It was that woman's decision to pray, which she didn't do it to inspire Edith Stein. She did it because she was in love with God. But it was her decision to pray that began to draw Edith Stein to wonder more about Jesus and more about the church. And the more she studied about Jesus and the more she studied about the church, the more she was drawn to encounter Christ in the church. She eventually was received in the church. She was baptized and she was confirmed and she received her first Holy Communion. She eventually became a nun. Her name was Sister Benedicta of the Cross. And then she was murdered by the Nazis. Now she's a saint, and she is a saint because of that woman. Imagine what it was like on the day she entered the kingdom of heaven. Imagine if that elderly woman was also already in heaven as well. And imagine if she walked up to that woman and said, "It's because of you, because of your decision to pray, that I was inspired to want to know more about God, the God who I am now in love with, the God who I now abide in relationship with. Thank you." Imagine what it could be like for you and I if we make it to heaven. How many people we can encounter who can tell us, "You prayed when you were at the grocery store. I saw you praying at that restaurant. I saw you praying at work. And I was having a really tough time. And I was really considering something really bad. But I saw you make the sign of the cross. And you inspired me to turn to Jesus. You inspired me to turn to the rosary again. You inspired me to go to church. Because of your choice to pray, I'm now here with God in heaven." Brothers and sisters, I want to invite you and I want to encourage you to be men and women, boys and girls who are rooted in prayer. The fruit of our relationship with God is not just for our personal relationship with God, but the fruit of our relationship with God will have an effect on other people as well. And we can be the reason why our brothers and sisters in our community, who we might know and we might not know, we can be the reason why they become the next great saint in our church's history.